All right, praise the Lord on this, I believe this is November the 15th.
14th?
Thank you. I need help, as you can tell. Lord's Sunday morning. Lord's Day, Sunday morning. I was driving up here to church this morning. I don't know why I have a lot of things come to my mind. But it came to my mind about that fourth commandment. Well, the Lord said, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And there's two things really spoke to me about that fourth commandment. One of them was remember it, and the other one was keep it holy. And I don't believe America's doing much of that, and you know, maybe churches aren't doing much of that, but God's holy, and His day is holy.
Yes.
And we need to remember that. Man, I come into God's house this morning all teary-eyed, just thinking on the things of God, and one day we'll get to meet Him face to face. Right now we're walking by faith. We're saved by faith. We live by faith. The Bible says then we'll see Him face to face. Be a humbling moment to see Him that loved us enough to step down so we could step up. It's hard to understand the love of God. It's deeper than I can reach and higher than I can reach and longer than I can go. But He's got unconditional love. And one day we'll see that. We'll understand how we failed miserably in the category of love. Last Sunday was Time Change Sunday morning. We made it through it. And this Sunday's, we've had some remodeling done in the church. We got new carpet. And we got new linoleum. We got new doors. Man, they've painted in here and it looks really nice. And I'd just like to praise God for all I see. All that's been done is really nice. And I thank the Lord for that. And we'll be starting this morning out of Romans, the book of Romans. And I'm really looking forward to teaching the book of Romans. St. John and Romans is probably two of my favorite books. And I try to steer everybody in that direction when they get saved. Not to head to Revelation, not to head to Genesis. But to read something like the book of St. John or the book of Romans. Paul wrote this book in 60 A.D. And the theme of the book of Romans is the gospel of God. And the key phrase mentioned in the book of Romans is the righteousness of God. A lot of people don't understand righteousness. And they go about to establish their own righteousness. Paul made mention of that in Romans chapter 10. And people need to understand that we just don't have any righteousness to offer God. Our righteousness is but filthy rags in the sight of God. But He offered His Son's righteousness to us. And Jesus' righteousness was imputed to me 33 years ago. Now I'm accepted in the beloved. Now I'm adopted in the family of God. But the key phrase of the book of Romans is the righteousness of God. Many people have stumbled at that. They don't understand it. It's broke down into seven parts, and we're just mainly going to be focusing on the introduction here in Romans chapter 1. We'll go to God in prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the day You've given us.
Yes.
Lord, we're thankful, Lord, to say we're in the house of God today. Amen. Lord, we pray, Lord, You bless Your Word today. Open Your words to us. Make Your words known to us, Lord. Lord, just pray for the anointing of God today.
Yes.
Lord, just pray for the blessings of God today upon our efforts, Lord. You said in John 15, without You we could do nothing. And so many people are doing nothing today. We want to do something today for the glory and praise of God. We need Your help. Ask for Your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. You know, he was a Jew. And he had a head-on collision with truth. And he had to throw everything that he'd learned away and had to start all over again.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was considered to be the greatest apostle. And one reason was because he was a chosen vessel. And he's the apostle to the Gentiles, and that's someone that's not a Jew, which that's what I am. I'm a spiritual Jew, but the Jews were God's chosen people, and the Gentiles, we got grafted in. Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's right.
We got to get in on those covenants and those promises. Verse number 2, which He had promised afore by His prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And, you know, we got everything we need right here. We just don't give the most earnest heed to it. I think we put other things in front of the Word of God, and we really should put everything aside for it, especially in the hour we're living in, when it's getting more relevant. I mean, it's time people start paying attention. He said, concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. People, they really struggle with that virgin birth. And, you know, men have actually copied about everything that God's ever done. God, He calls the very first anesthesiology, and they do that now today, get paid big money, put people to sleep. He done the very first successful surgery. He opened up the flesh of Adam's side, took out a rib from that rib, made Eve. He done the very first marriage ceremony. He presented that bride to Adam, and Adam said, I do, I do, I do. And Jesus talked about they didn't go through no divorce. He said from the beginning it wasn't so. They stayed together. They weathered it out. They buried their son Abel. And they just kept going. But you know, everything that man has learned, and I could take a lesson on this and bring a lot of this to truth, but God made His Son Jesus in the womb of a virgin named Mary, mm-hmm. of the seed of David. You know, today they can do what's called artificial insemination. They can put a fertilized seed in a young girl today, and she can bear a child. And I'm guessing that's where it's going. But anyway, they can do that today. People that can't have children, they can be artificially inseminated and have a child. But God was fulfilling His promise to the Jewish people in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Wherefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, bear a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel.
Yeah.
That's interpreted God with us.
Yeah.
But that seed of David's important, because God had made a promise to David that of his seed there would not fail one to sit upon the throne. It wasn't possible through the flesh. I don't know if I can find this scripture or not. But the flesh couldn't fulfill the promise that God had made to David. I wish I had my old Bible now. But
you need to bring it and leave it.
Yeah. I've got all kind of highlights and markers that I can find about anything.
Yeah, you need
but
to bring
God cut off the seed of David in the flesh in Jeremiah. And it says, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. And He cut the seed of David off. Let's see, I might have found it here. And then He reinstated it through Mary, the seed of David, which is Christ. That's the last one. Here you go, found it. In Jeremiah chapter number 22, verse 18, thus saith the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Joash, or son of Josiah, king of Judah. And I'm going to read verse 30. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. God cut off the seed of David right there in Jeremiah chapter 22. It was reinstated through Christ, which was of the seed of David, which is brought out here in verse number 3. Verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead.
Yes.
You know, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we're still in our sins, Paul said.
That's right.
But when he got up, that's where that victory come from. Amen. I mean, he didn't stay in the grave. He arose with a mighty victory over his foes. And he's got the keys of death and hell. He conquered death and he conquered hell. They didn't see it coming, but they did when he got up. And I'd like to have been there when the Lord walked up to the devil and said, I'll take them keys. But he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. And you can't receive anything except to be given of God. And Saul became Paul when he ran into Jesus in Acts 9 on his way to Damascus. And after he had been relearned, retrained, he had the seal or the zeal of apostleship. He had been given that. And he himself said that he had been found faithful putting into ministry for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Somebody wrote a song, Paul was a man God could use, and he did use him. He turned the world upside down with him. Verse 6, among whom are ye also called of Jesus Christ. That puts you in there if you're part of the church.
That's right.
And to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 8 here, he says, first, I thank my God. We got a Thanksgiving coming up this month. And I think every day ought to be Thanksgiving to a child of God. But Paul starts out, he says, first, I thank my God. You know, Thanksgiving's been ignored, been kind of discounted. They call it Turkey Day, they call it everything. But it's a day to be thankful for what God's given you. And Paul here says first, he said, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Boy, it'd be good to have a testimony that someone would say, I'll tell you what, buddy, you go over there, you can feel the presence of God. You go over there, buddy, you tell them people love the Lord.
Yeah.
And he's bragging on this church at Rome. He said that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. They've got a good witness. And he's commending them for that.
Can I tell you the testimony of a man that's only been in this church one time?
Yeah.
It won't take me but just a minute. He was here one time when Sarah and her boyfriend first started to come into church here. And that's his dad. Do you remember?
I remember him, yeah.
Okay. Remember 2 weeks ago or last week we prayed and prayed and prayed. He was going to have heart surgery.
Thursday, I'll take it.
Yes, Thursday. He had it Thursday. Well, he told
Patrick,
his son, he said, that little church over there that you go to is sure sincere when it comes to praying for the sick people.
Amen.
And he said, when I get out of this hospital, I'm going to go to your church. I said, well, praise the Lord.
Yeah, size
and
doesn't really matter as much as,
no.
I'd rather be real,
right,
small.
That's what he said. He said, that little church is so real when it, goes to, when it comes to praying for the sick, because I don't believe I'd have made it if they hadn't been praying for me. And I said, boy, what a testimony.
Amen.
If you don't
have the Spirit in a church, you might as well close the door.
Exactly.
If you're not faithful to God, you might as well close the door.
Listen, when we had a homecoming, when Eddie first came here, maybe the first year he was here, we had a homecoming. And what's that black preacher's name? What's his name?
Oh, Brother Fishback.
Fishback. Fishback's church came over here. There was a lady got out of her car out there in the parking lot. And she raised her hand like this, and she said, "I can feel the presence of God, and I ain't even in my house yet."
Yeah, I seen her doing that right there. Yeah,
I said, "Well, praise the Lord."
Hey, man.
Feeling my way out the parking lot, boy. We need to get inside.
Hallelujah.
She laughed. She said, "Yeah, we do."
But this church at Rome, it had a good testimony.
It's pretty,
and it was known throughout the whole world. In verse 9, Paul said, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." Brother Ed was talking about praying, and praying is a precious privilege.
Yes, it is.
And we need to do more of it. I'll give an example of that. This week, I've got my normal prayers, devotional type prayers. I've got a big long list of people I pray for. And I don't have them wrote down. I've got them wrote down in here.
Right.
But as I was going through my list of praying for people, and I pretty much have to stay in order, my feeble mind as I am, but if I stay in order, I can remember that list all the way from beginning to end. But as I was praying that morning, I was taking my time trying to pray more effectively, and I was pouring my heart out more than just saying the words. And as it got done, our computer had quit working 2 days ago. I was just sitting there and it just went black. And I thought, well, why not pray about it? So I said, "Lord, and if you wouldn't mind, if you could do anything to help our computer, I'd sure appreciate it, because I need it. I can't get no emails. I can't look nothing up. I can't listen. And I can't do nothing. We've become too dependent on them, but I need ours." And I got done praying. I went back there to the computer, moved the mouse. Little old circle started spinning. Next thing I know, it come on. I said, "Hallelujah." But you know, the Bible says pray about everything. Be careful for nothing. Everything, prayer, thanksgiving. And I did. I noticed that morning I was praying with my heart instead of just saying the words. I was really pouring my heart out that morning.
Right. Yeah.
But Paul here, he says, without ceasing, he said, "I make mention of you always in my prayers." We need to, from the way things are looking right now, we need to really pray. And I'm concerned about this pandemic that they're playing. I'm concerned about where it's going. I'm concerned about the mandates. I'm concerned about some of the stuff. What I'm seeing and I'm concerned about is the usurping of authority.
Yeah.
This is a free country. I'm free. Christ, He said, "Free indeed. Whosoever Son sets free, they're free indeed." I'm free. But what they're trying to do, they're trying, and I'll just tell you what happened. They're going to shut the churches down.
Yeah, they're trying to.
Yeah. And that's not going to work. I mean, the first time they tried to do it, me and Brother Ed met over here, just me and him, tried to act like there's 100 people here. But you know, I've got a mandate. They're talking about, I've got a mandate from God.
Yeah, that's right.
And Romans Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, Bible says, "Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that day approaching." I see that day approaching.
Yeah.
I see where this is going, and I see where, you know, that Antichrist spirit is exercising, you know, it's a muscle on our schools, on our children. I'm concerned about what I'm seeing. I'm concerned about what I'm hearing. I'm concerned about what they're getting away with. You know, years ago, and I'm going way back, people used to take pitchforks and torches, and they come and gathered up and said, "We ain't doing this." And you know what? They had their way. They opposed the tyranny of big government. And I think, you know, that we've kind of got complacent. But I will tell you this, We've got the advantage, and the advantage is prayer, and we need to pray without ceasing about some of this stuff going on. And here's why. Our children are the ones going to bear the burden of our neglect. Our neglect to pray is going to have a ripple effect upon them. Mm-hmm. I believe somebody prayed for us. That's why we've had it made our generation.
Right.
But I think we need to pick it up and pray. My prayer, just so you'll know, is that God will expose their enterprise, that God will overthrow their efforts, that God will make it known the evil they're trying to do to this country. Because I'll tell you right now, God raised this country up.
It belongs
to Him. He's evangelized the world with America. He's fed the world. He's protected the defenseless. He's clothed the naked. He's fed the hungry. Through this country right here, there's still a lot of good in America. And I'm still praying for it.
Yeah.
Not ready to raise the white flag. I ain't trying to be racist.
No.
I don't want to surrender what God given us, or what God has given us, without praying about it. He said, verse 10, making requests. You know, lots of times y'all request prayer for someone.
Yeah.
And I take that pretty serious.
I
go down on my knee and I pray. Lord, I got an email last night about Sister Kane that she had to be transferred to TJ Hospital by ambulance. And, you know, we pray for her. We pray for her last night. We pray for her soon. We got the email.
Yeah.
Pray for her this morning. We're going to keep praying for her because she had called me the day before that.
Right.
And said her and Mike was going to come to church today. And I said, well, praise the Lord. They had good intentions of coming. And this right here prevented that. He said, make him request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Paul was a long ways from this church in Rome, and he was hoping to have the means to come to them. And he said, I'm making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. You know, I'm not against money. It takes money to go, and you better have some, because I'll tell you right now, one of the things they're going to gouge you with, and that's heating your home.
Yeah, boy.
That don't have to be done. You know, I'm not sure our leadership is pro-America anymore. We're starting to care more about other countries than we do about this one right here.
Amen. You're right.
Not only are they rewarding people to come here, and they got caught, but it's going to give them $450,000 each to come here, plus pay them to get here, and then pay them or transport them free of charge to whatever destination, trying to turn these red states into blue states.
Yeah.
But also giving them, you know, charge cards, cell phones, free scholarships and all that. Why not help the people of America?
Amen.
What's wrong with... we got people in Afghanistan right now.
Yes, it needs to be.
We have 13 people that lost their lives. It's no more than negligence of poor leadership.
That's right. Oh, you're right.
I'm just saying that, you know, money is important. I looked yesterday at a bag of chips at Houchins. It was over $5 for one bag of chips.
Yeah.
That's just getting started. And, you know, Paul here, I'm not trying to make a point here about this, but he said he needed the means to come to them. And he said, I'm praying if by any means at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. Does anybody know what Paul... what his profession was, what he done for a living, does anybody know? He's a tent maker. he was a tent maker. You know, he had a way of making a living. And he was hoping, you know, to be able to make enough to be able to come to them. He said, verse 11, for I long to see you. You know, we've got means today that we can do a Zoom call, you know, and you can see them, they can see you, and all of that. But in his day, they didn't have that. He had to make that journey. He couldn't get on the bus, couldn't get on the plane. Most time, he just walked. Yeah. He said, "For I long to see you, that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established." You know, in their day, they really struggled to grow. And here we are. I mean, we're just gospel saturated. There's church on every corner. Like I said, be careful where you drop your anchor. Some of them, you'd be better off sailing on a little further. But if you find a good church, you can grow there. You can get everything that you need. This little church is a good church. Yeah. A lot of liberty here, a lot of spirit here. Yeah. The Lord's got the got the preeminence to do whatever He wants to do here. I just love watch God work in this little church.
Right.
But Paul here said, "I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to then you may be established." You got to grow. And you know, to keep going for God, you got to keep putting something in there. I don't go too far. My gas tank on my car is on empty. And my old truck, it's the same way. But you know, when you got a little bit in the tank, you can go till you run out. And he said that you may be established, that I might be able to impart some spiritual gift, and to the end you may be able to keep going. Verse 12, "That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." You know, like-minded faith. Can you imagine me being a Jehovah's Witness in here with y'all?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we would clash.
Oh, yeah.
But like-minded faith is we believe the same thing. And, you know, I know everybody probably, you know, my pastor and I love him to death. But we don't agree 100%. We probably agree 99%. There's things that I kind of put, you know, I believe and he doesn't. There's things he believes that I don't. And we're close enough, you know, that we can enjoy one another's company, no conflict. But if I was a Jehovah's Witness in here, you know enough Bible to know that I didn't need to be here.
Right.
I'm telling you right now. I am glad that I do know my Bible. Speaking of knowing your Bible, that's not always a good thing. I've been corresponding with some people on the internet and they done put me in jail. I can't even post a comment on her now. All I did, Sister Sharon, was I put Genesis chapter 8, verse 22 on there, and that's all it took. You see, this climate change is the new gold mine. They're all in on it. The Pope said you're going to go to hell if you don't get on board with climate change. I'm glad I don't answer to him.
Mm.
In my opinion, that man may not even be saved. I don't know. I can only say that about myself. But listen to what God says about climate change. I might as well throw this in here. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, "While the earth remains..." Is the earth still out there?
Yep.
Okay, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest,
right,
and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." You got the Word of God on that.
That's right.
God said, "Don't worry about climate change."
And
I got
shut you
good.
Up for that.
Shut me down, buddy. Because you see what? That makes too much sense.
Yes, it does.
And they're playing a lot of people on this climate change. Paul says, mutual faith. Romans 10:17 says, "Now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You might have faith in something that's not worth having faith in, but if you got faith in this, you got God standing with you on it. But I'll tell you right now, He'll back this word up. Amen. Mutual faith. The Bible says, "How can two walk together except to be in agreement?" It's kind of hard to have fellowship with someone that doesn't know their Bible, or maybe they're of another faith, and they disagree with what you know to be true,
right,
and you get into what's called endless genealogies, doubtful dispensations, and you know, for lack of better words, I say you just need to read your Bible a little more. Now, if they want to sit around and listen, I'll show them why I will say that. Because I know enough Bible, and I thank God that I do.
Yeah.
I know enough Bible to give a man an answer to ask me a question of the hope that's within me. And you better be ready to answer, because you're going to get some, whether you want to or not.
That's right.
But that mutual faith, Paul said, that of both of you and me, they were both Saved, they both knew the Lord, had good fellowship. The Bible says how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. The unity of that, he was looking forward to it. Verse 13, "Now I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you, also even among other Gentiles." Paul here talking about he had obstacles. We got a bunch today pushing this. What I'd call oppressors and oppressed, trying to divide people into two categories. You got these over here that are oppressed, and you got these over here that are the oppressors. And yet they're trying to shove a mandate down my throat that I don't agree with. I feel like I'm being oppressed, but it's okay as long as they do it. I just want to throw that in there. Paul said that he had difficulties coming to them. He said, "I had desire to come, but he said I just had a lot of obstacles, had a lot of things kept me, that kept me from my purpose to come unto you." But he said he's going to make it. He said, verse 14, "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise." He said, no matter what, he said, I'm going to try to help them. Whether they want to listen or not, I'm still going to try. So verse 15, he kind of sums up everything he says in this verse right here. He said, "So as much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also." Now he didn't want to exclude them. He said, "I'm ready to come. I'm ready to preach. I want to give to you what God's given to me." I put that Bible over here, Carolyn. There's that Bible of Star. I just laid it right there. He said, "I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." And they were looking forward to Paul coming. He was looking forward to getting there. And he said, "When I get there, I'm going to preach." Amen. Right. Verse 16, he said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." And a lot of people are. Yeah. Jesus said, "You'd be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you." You know, he put himself to an open shame for our sakes. We need to not be ashamed of him. He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." I've been around a lot of people, and I guess I'm a little bit too forward, but they're a little bit too backward. They just kind of whisper where I just kind of let it out. But he said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." The gospel is how I got saved.
Yeah.
The gospel is this right here, how that Jesus Christ died for my sins according to the Scriptures, and rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. And without the gospel, you can't be saved. Paul said, "I declare unto you the gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand." I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. "By which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." You know, a man preacher, he ought to be saved, amen?
Yeah,
I can't imagine trying to tell somebody how to be saved when you ain't saved yourself.
Yeah.
But he said, "I also received what I preached. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And that is the gospel message. And he said, "I'm not ashamed of that." He said, "It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it's written, the just shall live by faith." You're not going to get too far without faith. Now, this is the first, I said, it broke down into seven parts. What we're getting ready to read right now, that was just introduction. This is the first part of the seven parts of Romans And it's part one. It's the guilty world. And there's no denying that the world is guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And even though some don't want to admit it, some in denial, the Bible says that the whole world may become guilty before God, and it is. His word is sufficient to show this world guilty, and it is guilty before God. Now, we're going to go in this right here one verse at a time. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So you got imposters pretending to be something they ain't. And God ain't happy with that. In Matthew chapter 7, the Lord mentioned here, beware, verse 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. And the next verse said, you'll know them by their fruits. They pretend to be something, but they're not. Jesus mentioned about the Pharisees, he said, for a pretense they make long prayers. They're pretending. And the wrath of God is against that. I don't know why they don't just get right with God, but it says they hold the truth in unrighteousness. They don't want to really be true. They just want to convey, you know, partial truths. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed them. They've got no excuse. They've got everything they need to know the truth, to be true. Verse 20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. Now the world will give an excuse, but they're without an excuse. They're in denial. Job 37, verse 7 says that God sealeth up the hand of every man, that all men everywhere may know His work. That fingerprint points to the Creator.
Right.
Every one of these fingerprints are different because God sealed up the hand of every man that all men may know His work. There's no excuse. The creation is so visible and so clearly seen, verse 20 talks about it. There's just no way to miss it. The stars speak of the creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. Just think about it in simple terms. I just took a breath of air. Where'd it come from?
God.
He breathed the breath of life into Adam's nostrils. He became a living soul. Adam had to have air to breathe.
Yes.
You cut my hair off, I'm going to die. Not only that, I got gravity. I can move, not too much gravity, but I'm not sliding, I'm not falling, not floating. I got just enough gravity to hold me, to stop when I put my brakes on, but not so little that I float away.
Right.
Not so much that I can't move. Just those things that are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they're without excuse. They're still, you know, pushing this theory of evolution.
Yeah.
If there is such a thing as evolution, we're de-evolving. We're going the other way.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting dumber. You know, they speak against the Bible. They speak against God. They speak against being saved, they call it, you know, just a emotional thing. I can't help. I mean, I've had my eyes open. I can't help but defend what I know to be true.
Right.
Now, on the other side of the fence, I may have been a spectator, may have been a speculator, may have been skeptic, but having my eyes open, I told this before, but a little boy had a litter of kittens, and he was sitting there holding them, and this guy come up, and he was a certain preacher, and he said, young man, what kind of kittens are them? And he told them, these are certain kittens. And he said, I'll be right back. And he went and got his preacher friend. He said, young man, he said, tell him what kind of kittens them are. He said, these are Baptist kittens. He said, but the other day you said there's this. He said, that's before they got their eyes open. And you know, once I had my eyes open, I was able to see what I couldn't see before and know what I couldn't know before. And you know, just clearly seen, they're without excuse.
That's right.
And they're going to make one, but it's not going to stand up.
Nope.
Verse 21, because when they knew God, they glorified Him not. You know, you wasn't born that stupid. It took years and years and years of schooling to get that stupid. I mean, you got to have PhDs, doctors, and all them kind of degrees to get as dumb as to say there is no God. Where there's just so much evidence, there's no way to deny it. You know, a little child, they got enough sense to know better. But after someone, their heart's been hardened, you know, they've been deceived. Says when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. You know, we got Thanksgiving Day coming up, and they're not going to be thankful. I'm going to be thankful whether I got a turkey or not. I don't care if we're eating crackers. We're going to be thankful on Thanksgiving Day. But neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You know, they've got everything they need to believe. And yet they throw it out and receive something other than truth. And you know, God, He pleads with lost humanity, probably the strongest, in Proverbs chapter 1. He says, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity and scorners delight in their scornings? I'm in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. And scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. They don't want to know the truth. They hate the truth. You know, Pilate looked truth in the face and said, what is truth? They don't want truth. He said, turn you at my reproof. You know, God, He mentioned Genesis chapter 6, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And God shortened man's life right there, made his days 120 years. But you know, even in those 120 years, God dealt with mankind. And some of them did turn at His reproof, and some of them turned away. But He said, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. God promises, if you'll just turn to me, I'll give you everything you need. I'll help you. And you know, most people, they do what Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1 says. And you can read about it in obituaries. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. They just won't let God be God. They don't want nothing to do with God. They're conceited to thinking they don't need God. The Bible says, in Him we live, move, have our being. In Acts chapter 17, He says, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make my words known to you.
Right.
You know, you got to have God's help. To even know His Word. James mentioned about if any man lack wisdom, and I do, let him ask of God, giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. He'll teach you. He'll open His words to you. He'll show you all you want to see concerning His Word. He said, I'll make known my words unto you. Verse 24, because I've called. And you looked at the caller ID, he said, I ain't answering that. He said, because I've called, you refuse. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel, would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. You see, our life's but a vapor. We're just here for a little while. And men, they discount the credibility of God and the Bible. And they just say, it's my life. I want to live it how I want. You know, I had those selfish motives myself.
Sure.
I thought, you know, I could do what I wanted, when I wanted, how I wanted.
That's right.
I found out one day I'd been given long suffering love. God put up with me, made me love him even more. But he said, I stretched out my hand, no man regarded, but you said it not on my counsel, with none of my reproof. He said, I also will laugh. You see, they're laughing at God right now. God says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. See, you don't fear God and everything's going good. It's only when the doctor says he ain't going to make it.
Right.
Somebody go get a preacher. Go get so-and-so. Tell him I'm ready to talk. He says, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Now, these here in Romans chapter 1, their foolish heart was darkened. They don't want light. John put in John chapter 3 about the condemnation of darkness. And it's true. It says, this is a condemnation, John chapter 3 verse 19, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. You see, they reject light. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. The fool, the Bible says in Psalms 14:1, has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool in Psalms 53:1 has said in his heart, there is no God. They became fools. They weren't born fools. Notice that. They became fools. It's a product of their own doing. They was born smarter. I'm going to have to underline that. That really spoke to me right there. They became fools. But we'll try to get this next verse in here and then we'll stop. Verse 23, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto a corruptible man and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. I don't know that I can find this scripture. It's amazing I can quote it, whether I can find it or not. But God mentioned, I believe it's in the book of Psalms, that man thought he was like unto them. Man thought that God was like unto him. Let's see here. Maybe Psalms 55 or somewhere around. Let me see if I can find this. May not find it. May have to bring it in the next one. But man's conception of God, they just think God just like them. God's not like, nothing like you or me, neither one.
Right.
We might be made in His image, but we're not like Him. Let's see here. The scripture I'm looking for says, you thought that I was altogether one like unto thee. And God's, I'm kind of glad He is God. Man, He don't do what I do. Everybody done been dead if He did like I do. Well, we'll bring that into the next lesson here. I'm going to stop right there on verse number 23. Because we're getting ready to get in a little bit more tough territory here, talking about homosexuality and ungodliness and sin. But what causes that is they leave God out.
That's right.
They're not thinking about being accountable to anybody. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, as it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. They'll get it straightened out. They just get it straightened out too late. But we'll stop right there. Romans chapter 1 verse 23. Man just don't, they don't like to acknowledge God. They don't want to have to think about answering to God. They don't want to have to think about they got anything to do with God. And then they can't even live without Him. But we'll stop right there. And we'll pick up on verse 24 when we come back. All right. What a